I've been looking for a spiritual experience that allowed me into the thoughts, the space, the company of God. And yes, this other spirituality, this spirituality of archangels. Hello, everybody. My name is Lamaya Lorenz, and I am the host of this wonderful podcast. It's called I Question God. Man, what a year, right? You should be hearing this about January 15th. Well, maybe you won't be hearing this, but that will be the date that this podcast has been released to the world for all of humanity to glean. No, sorry. A little bit about me. My name is Lamaya, Lamaya Lorenz. I am from Massachusetts. That's where I'm actually currently recording this podcast. But by the time you hear it, if you hear it early, I will be in Redding, California. That's where I live at the moment. I am out there doing ministry school, and it's been a journey. I got saved when I was a mere 19. I'm currently 23. And that was a journey. At 17, I decided that I didn't like Jesus. I don't think there's a better way to put that. Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. Around 15, 16, I believe, craziness was going on in this earth, a time much like now, or rather a time much like earlier this year. I was seeing, I'm speaking about when I was like 15, 16, maybe 17. I had been seeing black men being paraded around the news, murdered, choked out, shot at, and I was hurting, and it was rough for me because I felt everything. I was going to a predominantly white school, and I was, you know, my home situation wasn't ideal. I just saw a lot of sickness, a lot of sadness, and it was rough, you know? I'm not gonna hold you, like, it was really rough that in that time. And I remember a hatred for white people coming upon me so heavily. And I decided I wanted nothing to do with whiteness, white culture, white America, white religion, white faith, like all of it. I just wanted out. And I decided that I wasn't going to be Christian anymore. And I became very Afrocentric, maybe. But I just started studying modern spirituality of African Americans. Very like, oh, my ancestors, very, I don't know, like, I never got too deep in it, but just like a little bit, like, I was just like, man, I'm just gonna do numbers, do astrology, numerology, astrology. I got really into both of those. I got really into natural herbalistic healings and things like that. And I was really into just Black. I don't know, there's no other way to describe it, I don't think, because I started getting into the spiritual side, and there was just something so foreign to me. I believe that people were talking about, you know, angels and archangels and things like that. And it was at that moment where I was like, wow, this is really weird. Like this is really weird and it doesn't feel good. They were really into crystals and energy and kundalini and stuff like that. And although spirituality intrigued me, I had a really hard time falling into anything beyond astrology and numerology, because I started to feel something that I didn't know what it was called. Fast forward, all throughout that time, my grandma was dying. She was on her last leg, not literally, she was like walking up until I think like a month or two before she passed. So, I mean, she was 90, so it was no like tragic thing, no literal tragic, you know, experience, but losing her was traumatic. I've lived with her every day of my life, since I was born. I was born, brought to her house, and then my mom ended up buying a house, and she moved into the house, and so I've never spent really a day apart from her, besides vacations or whatnot. And she was dying, and I didn't want to know, but I knew she was dying, and she died. She got to see me graduate high school. It's a blessing. But she died shortly after. And I was going into college. And going into college my freshman year, I've always had this thing where put in big crowds of people I just don't know. If they're really big, I just shut down. and that's exactly what I did senior, freshman year of college. I shut down. I didn't make any friends freshman year. I smoked weed. I hung out with my cousins. I hid at home. I hid in my room. I did a lot of hiding. I did a lot of sleeping. I did a lot of smoking. Not too much drinking. I was never a big drinker, although I have stories. but yeah. Forgive me guys. If this is boring, definitely click off. No, sorry. Don't click off. I'm just giving you guys a bit of background about my spiritual journey and where, you know, where Jesus came into all of this. So, fast forward to about Christmas. So about this time, 4 years ago, it's crazy. About this time, 4 years ago. And I was, Christmas 4 years ago. We're just about to go home for Christmas break, and I just met a girl in my major in a shop, you know, around campus, and we got to talking, and she was like, "Hey, yeah, just hit me up after break, you know, we'll hang out." And I'm like, cool, but that was my first friend in college. Kisses. It's kind of a sad story. It gets happier, I guess. Christmas meet my first friend. I go to break. Actually, right before this moment, I had a dream. And in this dream, I had lockjaw. I don't know if you guys know what lockjaw feels like or whatever. But I had a dream that I had lockjaw. And I was trying to talk, couldn't talk, and I was in pain. I was in pain, and I woke up. And I just knew, like, I asked one of my friends to interpret the dreams. Well, not really a friend. She was my college roommate. I asked my college roommate to interpret the dream, and, you know, she gave me one interpretation. But I just knew the dream meant speak. Like, put simply, that I wasn't speaking, that my soul wasn't speaking, that I was hiding too much. I was in a place of loneliness, not just solitude, but extreme loneliness. And my soul needed to speak. My soul needed to vibe. Like, my soul really needed to have some type of output that I wasn't allowing it to. And so I knew that was the interpretation of this dream. And this was right before I met the girl, and right after I met her, you know, I just decided, like, man, I don't know how to be friends with people, really, honestly. I don't know how to make friends. I don't know. But something has to give, because I just had this dream and I just knew it was important. And I'm going to rewind and give, like, commentary to the story, but I just kind of want to tell the story first. And then this same girl that I met, my first friend in college, she invited me to a gospel choir, which I ended up joining, which I ended up just partaking in. And yeah. And I wasn't really saved, but I wasn't even sure. I really wasn't even sure about Jesus. I remember that winter break, being off from school and being home and going to church because my mother said so, or some reason like that. And I was with my cousin, and there was a moment at church where, like, they do altar calls, so I was just, you know, in an altar call, whatever. And I just wanted to try again, right? Try Jesus again. I figured, hey, you know, this other spirituality actually isn't working for me. Actually, I couldn't really get into it. There was just something I knew that wasn't 100% right about this. And hey, I did grow up Christian, and maybe it was my Christian core coming out and rejecting any other religion that was being presented to me. But honestly, I've always loved numerology. There was no problem with that. I always loved astrology. There was no problem with that. And I mean, you'll see later in the story where I ended up. But I just decided, man, hey, I don't feel comfortable in this other spirituality. And I figured I'm just going to give Jesus a shot, because I could feel myself being a devoted person. I have a very, most people call addictive personality. And I think I realized that with weed. I think I kind of figured that out with how I treated weed. So there was that. And I just knew I needed something, man. And so I was going to give it a try. And in church, I raised my hand. I know that took so long to get to this point. But in church, I raised my hand a little bit. because I wanted to try worship. Like, I wasn't, not that, like, so, but it was during the complete wrong time, right? It was during the altar call. So they thought I was giving my life to the Lord, but I just wanted to try, you know, I just wanted to dip my toe in the water of worship. I didn't really want to give my life to the Lord. So I lift my hands up because that's what you do, you know, and somebody grabbed me and walked me to the front. And I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, man. I was like, no, please. No, thank you. And I ended up going home. And that day, actually, both me and my cousin had a very similar experience at church. And then I just remembered me getting ready to, it was about almost the end of my stay at home, and I was getting ready to pack up, go back to college, maybe one or two Sundays before that moment. And I remember just saying to my cousin, yeah, that felt fake to me. Well, how did it feel to you? Like, do you actually believe in Jesus? And he said, yeah. And I was like, oh. At the time, everyone around me believed in Jesus at the time, which is crazy considering what I am living in at this very moment. But at the time, everyone around me believed in Jesus to an extent. And I was the only one questioning the validity of Jesus of Nazareth being the Son of God, being fully God, fully man. I was the only one that stepped outside of our paradox that was created for us, that we were born into. And I was the only one asking questions and seeking other and wanting to be enthralled in something else, you know? And so at the time, my sister was devoted Christian. She was going to church. She was, you know, in the choir. She was a treasurer. She had literally the keys to our local church. Me, completely opposite. Completely opposite. I've always kept a good face within community, I guess, within family. But I, at the time, openly racist, openly agnostic, openly questioning my faith. Everybody thought I was losing my mind. And so at this moment, I think they were just so excited to see me engaging that they just threw me up. And when we got back home, me asking my cousin, it was almost like, dang, not him too. Like, I was actually kind of upset that my cousin didn't feel forced like I felt forced, but he actually felt something very genuine. And later on, you know, we would have again talked about that moment. But yeah, so I get back to school, and I'm just gonna like really fast forward through this part, man. But I get back to school, and I make friends with this girl, and actually she has a whole group, and I actually just make friends with the group. Thing about me is I actually have a really hard time feeling apart. And so although I was a part of this group, I really felt distant in my heart and in my mind and my psyche, whatever. I started throwing parties, and I started selling drugs, and I started doing things at college. Like, I just thought, like, hey, if I was going to be cool in college, it was because I did this. But I was still in this gospel choir, and I was engaging in the director of the gospel choir was a prophet, and he had a very devoted prayer life, and he spoke with God. He talked with God. He walked with God. He literally spoke about not sleeping for days because he was up praying. He was up communing with the Father. And I was like, this dude is weird. But also I was like, wow, this is what I've been looking for. I've been looking for a spiritual experience that allowed me into the thoughts, the space, the company of God. And yes, this other spirituality, this spirituality of archangels and whatever, I really don't know how to quote what they were on, like the group that I was following, this spiritual journey of just angels and speaking to spiritual beings and spiritual powers. And although I did believe that there was a spiritual reality that I could not see, I actually just didn't feel safe outside of the bounds of one God, because I've had experiences, and it was the experiences that I've had before this, being overwhelmed in class speaking to someone about the reality of God, the validity of God. I remember being in church one day, being overwhelmed by something, not knowing what it was, and being told that this was the presence of God. So I knew for a strong fact that there was God, and I could never dismiss the fact that a God exists, and that there was one God, and that he listened to me, and that he saw me, because my grandma was a woman of prayer. Every night she would say her prayers. Every night she would teach me. I was so close with my grandma, and she would teach me how to pray, and she would instruct in me the importance of conversation with God. And although I was questioning the validity of Jesus, I never doubted that there was God. And so this man, like, introducing me to a communion, a relationship, a face-to-face thing with God, I said to God, like, he was showing me something that I think my soul knew existed, my main consciousness didn't know. I never experienced before. So although I knew I wanted a face-to-face relationship with God, a face-to-face, a mouth-to-ear, a breast-to-breast relationship. When I say breast-to-breast, I mean like as you're hugging, you know, but I knew I wanted a very close relationship with God, but I didn't know what that would look like. And everywhere I searched showed you how to be a better you. But I knew that there was a God. Everything else showed you how to ascend and become a better you and get in touch with other beings, but I didn't want other beings. I don't know if that punches, but I didn't want other beings. I didn't want superior spiritual beings. I didn't want to surf the cosmos. I didn't want to astral project. I didn't want to be in communion with spiritual beings. I wanted communion with God. And that's something I couldn't explain at the time. Now, looking back, maybe I'm making it up, but I don't think I am, because I had the chance to go and search these other spiritual beings, and I turned it down because I knew that's not what I really wanted. I knew that there was a God out there. I just didn't know where he was. And to have this choir director / prophet / really a friend of God, friend of Jesus, tell me about his relationship with Jesus, I knew I wanted it. And I prayed maybe mid-time out of the semester. And I prayed. I was like, yeah, God, if I'm going to have a relationship with you, I want it to be that. Fast forward to the end of the semester. And he says something, this choir director. He says, if you go out your way for God, this summer, there's something special for people who are willing to go out their way for God this summer. And like I said, he introduced himself as a prophet. I believed him. I don't even know why I believed him, because I knew nothing about prophets. But I believed him. And, you know, and he gave words to people. Words are just information from God that wouldn't otherwise be known, like not communicated from person to person, but really communicated from God to person to another person. And so he was always saying things that wouldn't have been known unless he actually spoke with God. Man, when I said I wanted that so bad, like I wasn't jealous of it. I really wasn't jealous of it. Like I wasn't like, oh, I want that because I want to be able to talk to other people. Like, no, like that's not really why I wanted it. I didn't want what he had. I didn't want prophecy heard. Like I didn't want that. That's not what attracted me personally. Maybe a little bit on a subconscious level because it looked really powerful. But really what attracted me was the fact that he heard God. I was like, I was like, God told you that? Crap. That's sick. I was really intrigued. But I guess it did take all of that. Oh, okay. Fast forward. So he was about the summer. I'm sorry, guys. I'm kind of getting off track. But about the summer, he said, if you would just give yourself to God this summer, go out your way for God this summer. He gave that word. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. I was still selling drugs. Still throwing parties. And still didn't really believe in Jesus. I mean, I was like, okay, Jesus, sure. I mean, if this is how you talk to God, Jesus, fine. Like, Jesus was like, to me at that point, I think Jesus was like a technicality. You know, like I still saw Jesus as a technicality because I just wanted to be with God, you know, and I think a lot of like weird stuff was happening to me, like weird things that felt really spiritual. My tire going flat on the highway. And I didn't feel like this was God's judgment. I think I did at that point. I really did feel like, man, God is judging me. God is judging me. And this weird stuff, man. But then the summer hit and I just had this testimony, man, like of I just believe in God and I was changing. And I think my friends seen it because they were like, what's going on with you? The first party back home that I went to was a birthday party. And my friend was like, there's something different about you. I don't know. Maybe they thought it was coffee or college, but it was Christ. And I just started talking to them about God. I was just like, yeah, like I just believe in God. And I committed to going to a Bible study. And I went every Wednesday, didn't always go to church, you know, whatever. I went to church a lot that summer, but I didn't really go to church as much as I went to this Bible study. I don't think I ever missed a week. I'd be smoking weed before the Bible study. I was just bored, man. I would be doing other stuff. But when this Bible study came around, I would try to sober up, try to do something, try not to stink. And I would just go to the Bible study and nobody would say anything like, hey, you smell like weed. Nobody would say anything. They just sat and we had Bible study and then we left. And that lasted the whole summer. And I don't really remember anything from the Bible study. I can't tell you a memorable moment from the Bible study. I actually barely remember that I did it, if I'm being really honest. But it was this day in July, and this day seemed really weird. Before I tell you about this next experience, I just remember experiencing the presence of God before I knew what it was. I remember being in my car one day. I was super high. I was driving and on this highway, and I knew, I was like, man, this is not safe. I said in my mind, I said, man, this is not safe. And then when I said it, I felt God. Like, I knew in my car, like sitting passenger, riding shoddy, like, was God. Like, I just felt him. And then I looked over to the passenger seat and, you know, I was just like, what do you want? I literally just said that. I was like, what do you want? I was like, I know, I'm sorry, I don't know. Like, and it was this weird experience. And this happened to me multiple times that summer, but in this one particular time that it happened, I just always remembered it because it felt so real. I don't know how else to explain it, but the conviction, I don't think it was condemnation, because condemnation pulls you away from God. Conviction pulls you towards him. Condemnation says, I'm so dumb, or I'm so bad. Conviction says, this is not what I should be doing. This is not like me. Not for real. I know I'm better than this. That's conviction. And in the moment, I was just like, yeah, I know I'm not supposed to be doing it. I know this is not safe. God, I like, whatever. Like, if I'm a crash, I'm a crash. But I can't take you being here. So can you go? At least right now. And he's so nice. He never left. He annoyed me, man. He pursued me. And I think, man, that's just the God I know. That's the God I know. I know a God that pursues you. I know a God that hangs out with you when you're hot boxing. I know a God. That's the God I know. I know a God that says, this is not for you. And I know a God that didn't run away from my questions. He didn't he didn't leave me in the midst of that. Fast forward to a day late July, July 30th, 31st, I think it was the last day of July. And I was at a revival meeting. Well, fast rewind. That day, I was supposed to go to a revival meeting. My mom told me the night before, hey, I want you to go to this revival meeting. It is off the chain. Literally, she said it was amazing. My dad had been going to this new church. It was more his style. He is a Jamaican, and he is really a Jamaican. And this church was ran by Jamaicans, and it was just more of his scene. For so long, he has sacrificed and gone to the church my mom grew up in. But this church specifically, he felt comfortable. This was what he was raised in. He was committed to this church. And so my mom was trying to check it out. hey, there's a revival meeting. She decided she was going to go. She went one night, came home, and was like, Lamaya, you're going with me tomorrow. And I'm like, maybe. She's like, yep, I'll see you there at 7. So that day was going on, and weird things started happening to me. I don't actually remember what I was doing before. I think I had just bought my car, and I was refusing to smoke weed in my car. I just had this weird thing. I was just like, I'm just not going to smoke weed in my car. I don't know why, but I'm just not going to smoke weed in this new car. I think I just didn't want it to smell like weed. My other car stank. When I said my other car knew I had it, like... My other car smelled like I always had it, and I just didn't want my new car to smell like that. So I had stopped at the park, got out my car, smoked weed, and I went home. I had smoked weed earlier, but I had stopped at a park, got out my car, smoked weed. And then I went home, and that whole summer I was smoking weed in this pipe thing. And I was in my bathroom cleaning my pipe thing, and it was on the counter, and then it fell off the counter and it broke. I'm like, oh no. So I'm like, man, I have to buy a new one. My first thought was, I have to buy a new one because this is the most convenient way to smoke weed. And I was just about to leave, and my friend called me. I was still selling drugs, and she was like, yo, you got it? Because I just need some right now. And I had already committed to going to this revival thing with my mom, so I knew I had a decision to make. I couldn't both buy the pipe and sell the weed and make it to this revival on time. I was actually already late when the pipe broke. I was already late. I was already late. And when this girl texted me, I'm still like, I had been selling weed in school, but now I was home, and I was trying to build up a market in my hometown. So I was doing it a little bit, but it wasn't really working out. So I decided to take this sale. I went up, sold it to her, and then went straight to the revival meeting. I wasn't able to buy the pipe. And I'll just keep telling the story. I was at the revival meeting, and the preacher started speaking about the Holy Spirit, and he said, I believe someone tonight is going to meet the Holy Ghost. This Jamaican guy. So he said it with an accent. It sounded way cooler than what I can do. And he just was giving testimony after testimony after testimony, how the Holy Ghost made grown men cry, how the Holy Ghost made grown men shake, how the Holy Ghost made... And I'm like, yo, this is about to be stupid. Like, literally in my mind, I'm just like, here we go, here we go. But also, I was experiencing this level of release of doubt. Like, I was such a big doubter. And even still to this day, there's a level of doubt that God is wringing out of me. It's very painful, but I'll tell you that, guys, about that at a later time. But there was this thing with doubt that I had, and God wanted to exit that doubt. He wanted to flush it. And as this preacher was speaking about the Holy Spirit, the church went into a time of worship. So the keys are playing and the choir is singing, and he's still just speaking, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever been in church and the preacher speaking softly, and there is this choir singing, and yeah. So at that point, I let my heart wander a little bit too much. I guess I released a little bit too much, maybe, because my eyes started twitching. And my body does a lot of things, but eye twitch was not one of them. And I started feeling a way. I started feeling something weird, something different. And my mother saw me and my father saw me, and I'm literally hearing them have this conversation about me. Hey, what's going on with her? Oh, like whispering about me. And my dad finally decides to get up and get me up and walk me to the altar. When I tell you I got to the altar, I fell to my knees. I fell flat on my face. I lost all strength in my body. Everything in me stopped working by my will. And I started wailing. I'm not talking tears were running down my face. I'm talking I was screaming in that church. I was embarrassed. My inside voice was like, you know, when I say my inside voice, I don't mean like quiet. I mean, my dialogue on the inside was, this is so dumb. I look crazy. But I was so feeling the Holy Spirit. And I was crying and I was wailing and I was saying, Jesus, I am so sorry. Jesus, I am so sorry. Jesus, I am so sorry. I am sorry I ever doubted you. I'm sorry I ever left you. Jesus, I am so sorry. I met the Holy Spirit and all I could do was apologize to Jesus. And all I could do was believe in Jesus at that very moment. But it finally felt like I had finally met God. I finally felt in that moment, while I was crying, while tears were running down my face, while I was yelling and groaning, I finally felt like I had felt I have met God. And all of a sudden, I started hearing a voice I've never heard before inside of me. All of a sudden, I started hearing someone, a steady voice, a voice that rang out with holiness and righteousness. And all of a sudden, the voice that I've always craved, the person that I was determined to meet, the person that I was searching for, sang out in my soul. I heard God for the first time talk to me directly. He told me everything that I had been praying for that summer, he was going to answer. I had been fighting with my brother the whole summer. I had been beefing with my parents the whole summer. I had been thinking I was going crazy, literally thinking I lost my mind, hearing voices in my head. I was lost. I was starting to feel so lonely again. I didn't click with any of my friends. I was struggling that whole summer. And although I was being different, I was different that whole summer. That whole summer, I felt like I was dying. And I just felt God reassure me. I will answer your prayers. Fast forward a little bit after making it up off the floor. I think I was wearing contacts that day. One had fell out, rightfully so. It just got whisked away with the tears. I was driving home and God, man, I couldn't believe it, but God told me to call my friend and tell her to not worry about money. And I was so still in this moment with God, I didn't really know. I was didn't really want to speak to anyone from the church, didn't really want to speak to my parents. I had drove there, I was trying to drive home. I couldn't see barely, but I had to call my friend and tell her, don't worry about money. So I called her, I'm like, God said, don't worry about money. And I hang up the phone. I didn't even wait for her response. She just said, hello. I told her the message. I hang up the phone. I go to sleep that night and I have a dream that I'm walking into a church and I'm being accepted by things and I'm dressed in white. I've never told this story before, but I was dressed in white and I was just walking down an aisle and I was just being accepted into something. I didn't see anybody with me, but I knew that this was heaven and I was being accepted in. And I dream in series. So it was really strange. And that was like, I don't know, one of the clearest dreams I've ever had. And I woke up the next morning and I felt completely different. I was just not the same. And I knew that I had to stop. I just knew that I had to stop smoking weed. I knew that I was delivered from addictions. And I knew that the voices in my head went away. I knew I wasn't crazy anymore. I wasn't depressed. I didn't feel lonely. I don't know like how to describe it, but I feel like a lot of people who listen to this podcast know what I say. Like, you be in a room full of people and you still feel lonely. And I didn't know how to not feel lonely before I had that experience with God. But I woke up the next morning and that feeling of inherent loneliness was gone. It was completely gone. And the craziest thing, and I'll leave here after this, but the craziest thing was that I still felt him. I still felt God. I woke up that day and I still knew he was with me. I could still hear his voice. I can still feel his presence. I can still know. I still knew he was with me. So if you ask, why is this podcast called I Question God? It was because my whole conversion story was a big question, was a series of questions, was a series of seeking, was a series of search that if I had not gone agnostic, if I had not gone astray, if I had not gone into the wilderness of seeking and search, I don't know if I would be here. If I didn't ask these hard questions, if I would have just accepted it, if I would have bottled down my pain, if I would have just sat with the if I would have just sat with the grief and shame and things, I would have been a completely different person. If I didn't answer that call in my soul to know God for real, I wouldn't know God at all. So I just want to encourage you, if you've made it through this whole episode and you are now listening to this part, I want to encourage you that God is not a God of God is not a God with closed ears. He's not a God with concrete ears. In fact, he tells us he hears every prayer. He tells us that he counts the hairs on our heads. And I just want to let you know, someone that takes the time to count every single hair on your head is not someone that is going to throw you away when you sit in their presence. I needed God, so I looked for him, and I found him. I found him in reading my Bible. I found him in worship. I found him in the fellowship of the saints, but I found him really when he approached me. And I think more than anything that the seek is always worth it. The questions are always worth it. The pursuit of him is always worth it. I don't feel anyone will ever really be disappointed with searching for him. If you're searching for him, he's here to be found. He's here to be loved and to love you, to find you when you think you are invisible, to find you when you're hiding. He's there if you seek, and sometimes if you don't, honestly. But I question God, and this is how I know God to be the answer to my questions. He is my answer. He is my why. He is my how. He is my who and my what and my where. And I love it. I love living with a God that is not too big to answer my small questions. And I just want to encourage you, if you want to know this God who isn't too big to answer even your smallest questions, it starts with Jesus. When I met Holy Spirit, I met Jesus. And Jesus stopped being an afterthought. He stopped being an inconvenience. He stopped being a technicality, and he started being everything to me. The kindness of Jesus, the what he did, the lengths that he went to, I can't even explain it right now. I will, though, dive deeper into it in this podcast. But hey, if you want to know the God that answers you, it starts with Jesus. And I would encourage you to pray to Jesus and ask him to come into your life, to repent of your doubt of him, to repent of your sins, to ask him to teach you all about who he is. Ask him to show you the truth, because he is the truth. And if you're a believer and you stumbled on this podcast this far, oh man, you're a champion. Thank you for listening to my story. Thank you for caring. If you feel like you don't know him and you feel like you are just in a season of questions and unanswered questions, really, I would suggest to go on the journey, go seek him where you don't think he is, go find him, go to him. He is there. He is not scared of you. He's not mad at you. He is not resistant to you. But he's there to be found. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search it out. And he calls you king. Wow, thank you everybody so much for listening to this episode of I Question God. If you want to connect even more, I do recommend following me on Instagram at Lamaya Larez. That is Instagram, Lamaya Larez. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram at I Question God Podcast. We're so excited to be building this community of people who just really love Jesus and people who are kind of uncertain in their faith. I want you to be able to connect with a group of people that love you for you and that is going to walk with you through all of this. So please connect with us. Man, I love you so much, but Jesus loves you more.